It's time to take this game into overtime.
The official podcast
of the Average Joe's Sports Show
on 90.9 The Light Sports
for our generation.
The following is a presentation of the 90.9 The Light Sports Department. For people who can't get enough of the NBA, we'll take you through this week's action across the nation, following the league's top players, team standings, and the latest NBA news. This is From the Perimeter.
Welcome to another edition of From the Perimeter. Thomas Pensiero here. Alongside me is Kyle Vaught.
What up?
Another week in the NBA is gone, and another week we are here in the DeMoss Hall Studios giving you everything you need to know in the world of the NBA. So let's jump right into it. We have a new topic for you guys, the Big Three. This is where we take the top three stories of the week going in, because not everyone can be the Warriors and have a team full of shooters and big men. Most teams, they just have three, Kyle.
They just have three.
They have James, Wade, and Bosch. You got Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, Duncan, Parker, Ginobili.
Don't forget Johnson, Worthy, and Abdul-Jabbar.
Hey, you gotta go to the classics.
That was before I was born.
You have to go back to the classics. So we're gonna go right into it with the first topic in the Big Three. Steph Curry and James Harden get the All-Star Game start over Russell Westbrook. In ESPN, ESPN's own Ramona Shelbourne posted a video of Curry saying, "It's big storyline because those two guys are doing amazing things this year. There's only two spots you can fill. Unfortunately, somebody was going to be left out. I've been on the other side of that 4 years ago. It's how it goes." So, Kyle, would Curry have handled that differently if they hadn't just crushed OKC the same night?
Probably a little bit. I think he was coming off a little bit of just adrenaline rush still from the game. It was a really, really good game. Golden State played phenomenally. But he's absolutely right in this situation at the same time. So I don't know how differently he would have. I think he may have been a little bit more empathetic, just a little bit. You know, maybe given him a little bit more, you know, Westbrook's a fantastic player. You know, I'm just excited, you know, about this. And he did. He went on to say, in the interview, he's excited just to represent his team. And he didn't say anything hugely negative. He said, you know, specifically about the two of them, you know, Harden and Russell Westbrook. He said that they're doing fantastic things. But again, you know, he was right. 4 years ago, he got left out. And
it happens.
You know, he knows that that happened. So,
but we've seen Westbrook do amazing things in the All-Star game when he's not a starter anyway.
Yeah, so he hasn't been a starter yet, I don't think. Past 2 years, he's, you know, essentially dominated.
Exactly. Well, that takes me to my next topic, my next question for you. This whole thing with Westbrook getting left out, is it fair to him? Did he deserve to be left out? Would you have put him in over one of those guys?
No, not based on what they're doing, because one, it's an entertainment business, and it's also it's about the athletic, just domination of what the fans want to see. I would much rather see, somebody as polarizing as Harden and Curry playing on the court together with how talented they are, and then also how unselfish and how exciting they are. You see that Harden's, you know, leading in assists, and Curry is just captivating by the way he can shoot. I want to watch Harden do a behind-the-back pass and Curry make some impossible shot. I don't want to watch Westbrook do what he does every night, because that's all he'll do.
Not that this is a huge topic, in my opinion. I mean, it's all-star starters. No one really cares. But in my opinion here, I wouldn't have put Russell Westbrook in over these two guys. They're deserving. What I would have done is probably started all three of them. Maybe leave out Kawhi Leonard, who's having a good year.
Hold up.
I mean, it's an all-star starting game. I mean, it's these guys are
going to
play.
You don't think Kawhi doesn't deserve to be there?
I'm not saying he doesn't deserve. He's an all-star. But I would like to see all three of these guys on the court at the same time. How great would that be? I mean, ultimately, it's just who's starting the game. We know Westbrook is going to play 30 plus minutes in this game anyway, and they all are. So,
but see, that's where I would agree and also disagree in the fact that We know what Westbrook's about. We've seen him in the past two All-Star games really just kind of take over and score a bunch of points and get the MVP of the All-Star. Yay. I don't need to see that again. And I don't need to see all three of them on the court again, because I don't need to see a quarter and a half of Westbrook not passing the ball to Curry or Durant. So I don't know.
All right, let's move to the second topic of the big three here. The Cavs now 30-13 on the year. But at this point, halfway through last year, they were 30-11, same record as they were at the half point this year when David Blatt was fired. So they were both 30-11 at the halfway point the last 2 years. Now Ty Lue has been coaching a full regular season. He's got the record of 57-25. Kyle, why does this feel so different than last year with the same record?
Because it's the same team. The issue, I truly believe that the issue was not necessarily David Blatt. And David Blatt never did anything horrible to that team. He just, it wasn't dominating. And last season, we also had an issue with the Golden State Warriors dominate. I'm talking destroying people left and right. I mean, think about it. They lost how many games? Nine? Was it nine?
Nine games.
Out of the whole season.
73-9.
Out of the whole season. That's insane. And then you had to go up against that, against the Cavaliers that were, you know, wow, they were at the halfway point, they were at 11 losses. How ridiculous is that to think?
In comparison. Oh, yeah,
right. I mean, Greg Popovich, I mean, right now, what are the standings? And the fact that even then, they're standing at 9 losses on the year. And that's a Greg Popovich team with a lot of players that are balanced beyond belief. And I think that's what really is the difference this season versus last season, is they're all the same guys and they don't know what to do still. They're talented, so they're going to win. And they're going to win enough to win the East most likely. But are they gelling to the point where they feel like a dominating team? I don't think so.
Well, that's why I want to stay on the Cavs here for a few more minutes. They're in the news a lot, especially this week. We're going to get into LeBron's comments after last night's horrific loss to the Pelicans without Anthony Davis. But before that, they're in a lot of trade rumors recently. LeBron's pushing for somebody to come into this team as a playmaker. The Cavs are in business for another point guard. You know, Kyrie Irving's not the traditional point guard. LeBron is not the traditional point guard. They don't have a true traditional point guard on this team. Kyle, is it a good idea for them to go and get a Jameer Nelson, a Deron Williams, somebody cheap who's a veteran point guard that can be more of a playmaker?
Okay, so what was it that LeBron said? You had it earlier. Bring that back up for me.
Well, yeah, so after last night's game, they lost to the Pelicans without Anthony Davis, and LeBron was not happy at all.
Okay, so what did he say?
Publicly saying, I just hope that we're not satisfied as an organization. We're not better than last year. It's me, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love. It's a top-heavy team. We need an expletive playmaker. I mean, the Cavs are 4-18 the past 2.5 years when LeBron's out. Is he right for saying this, for publicly going against his team and the organization, the front office, he wants another guy on this team. He needs a trade.
Okay, well, in that situation, though, I'm a little bit frustrated with all the different things that he said right there, because this shows the size of his ego and really his lack of understanding about process basketball, which is really crazy, because he knows and he wants, like, he understands that basketball is, you need all those pieces, but he should have had the foresight to understand that when he took that max contract, that takes away their ability to pull all the different guys. Like, you see it even this year with Golden State, when they got Durant, they don't have
room for depth.
Well, yeah, they don't have the depth that they did last year, but they still have talent on the bench that they kept with Livingston and things like that. I'm glad that they kept, but they lost Harrison Barnes, who didn't play that well at the end of the last season. But look at who the Cavs have behind them. They have Channing Frye, who plays fantastic every 6 games, right? They have Iman Shumpert, right? Didn't James specifically fight to get him another contract? Tristan Thompson, didn't James back them? And then the fact that he publicly came out and said, it's Irving, me, and Love, and that's it. What do you think the rest of the team thinks right now? This is the guy who literally had their back, and they said, this is our leader. This is basically our on-court coach.
He's frustrated.
Right, but this is the person that they say, this is our on-court coach. This is who we look to. And all of a sudden, that person said, eh. Think about what Kyle Korver thinks right now. I mean, that's my thought. This is not okay.
Very uncharacteristic of LeBron.
But I mean, you also look at the Pelicans play last night, and you had Jones and Holiday went off. Jones had 36 points, and Holiday had 33 points, which is a little bit abnormal. But at the same time, you had Monte Hunas get 14 off the bench. So,
all right, let's move to our final topic of the Big Three today. Let's talk a little bit of Philly basketball. The 76ers, now at 15-27. They're above the Heat and the Nets in the standings thus far, so they are not last in the East no more. 76ers are on the rise. So how are they doing? 7-3 in their last 10 games. Kyle, what's different about this team?
Honestly, I would reminisce that it really is team chemistry in the way that they're playing. Now, Ben Simmons is looking like he could come back at some point.
After the All-Star game around there.
I don't believe it. I don't.
Why rush it?
Yeah. And we see it right now with other big men who have struggled with foot injuries. We see Porzingis right now who's dealing with a foot injury. That doesn't heal quickly.
It lingers.
Yeah. Unless you are able to really get the rest you need, it's not going to heal. So you have that, and then you have Jahlil Okafor, who isn't really doing anything. He's not really producing. He's not really, honestly, he's not really.
I think what, 11 points per game?
That's
7 points less than his rookie year.
But at the same time, he's got to fight Embiid now. So,
and Nerlens Noel is still there, and they have Hollis Thompson, or Covington. Who's starting over all these guys sometimes. I mean, they have a very crowded front court, and none of them are playing more than 25, 28 minutes. So the numbers aren't there, but it's very crowded. And then to put Simmons into that mix soon, I mean, they're going to have to make a trade eventually. But let's move on to one of their stars. I mean, the bright spot of this team, Joel Embiid, is he slowly becoming a star? I mean, he's very entertaining to watch. Is it that is he the main attraction for this team moving forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've seen him continually grow. We've seen him continually move forward as a healthy player.
And boy, is he fun to watch.
He really is.
He's a character on the court.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely something that we'll touch on a little bit later as well. And it's exciting to see, what he's able to do at a young age. I believe he's 22 years old. He's playing with so much joy and passion, and that's exactly what you want to see when you're watching the NBA. I really believe that there will be a trade for anybody that can support
Who
NBA.
Would you trade?
Honestly, I would trade Okafor, but I'm not going to get much for him. So I would...
You'd get more for him than Nerlens Noel at this point. They're playing Noel about 12 minutes a game. How are you going to trade him if you're not even playing him?
Well, yes, but in that situation, that's just kind of right out the clock, because I think Noel's contract isn't that long.
He's been there the longest.
Right. You may be able to save some money when that contract's up and get somebody else. Or, like you said, trade him for a draft pick or something and maybe pull somebody a little bit, maybe back into the lower rounds, but you could get something for them.
I mean, whatever happens, it's exciting to see Philly back in it. I mean,
yeah, they look comfortable.
They're still 15-27, but 7-3 in their last 10 games. They look like an NBA team at this point.
They look comfortable.
We can stop the Kentucky versus 76ers debate at this point, I think. All right, let's move to the next segment.
What up?
Your final four, Kyle. We're switching it up. No more power rankings left. We're evolving as a podcast.
We have to. It's an ever-changing cycle.
Ever-changing. You have to change. So we are changing, and we are changing to the Final Four, where you take the top two teams in the East and the top two teams in the West.
Who's going to be battling to go
to the championship. So, Kyle, let's start with you. Let's hear your top four teams, your Final Four teams, two from the East, two from the West.
Well,
let's see what you got.
I think it's going to come down to the Warriors and the Spurs. It's been very apparent that those are the two powerhouses in the West. They're going to be fighting all the way to you, and whoever wins that game. Now, what could affect that in the Final Four is seeding. If they end up getting seeded right next to each other, one and two, that could mess some things up. If they end up getting seeded, honestly, if they got seeded like 1-4 or 1-3, even 1-5, it could kind of mess things up, because then they may not see each other. They may see each other too soon, and it wouldn't be in the
final. They'd have to be 1-2.
Right. They would have to be 1-2 in order to see each other in the finals. So that's a possibility if somebody like the Rockets, Houston Rockets, come up and overtake that situation. Or even the Jazz are playing out of their minds right now too, really consistent, really well. They could sneak up, but I highly doubt they're going to take that two away from the Spurs. Now, on the other side, on the East, we've got, I believe, there's nobody else other than the Cavs. The other team that I have on the East side is the Raptors.
And it's probably what? Only hope if they make a trade.
No, I don't know exactly on that one. I do believe we've seen DeMar DeRozan play really well throughout this season. I really believe it's going to come down to Kyle Lowry hitting his stride again like he did at the end of last year. We saw him in the playoffs have some really rough games and have some really rough times. And then we saw him do, it really felt like a kind of an all-star, you know, mainstream move where, you know, he took that video shooting in the gym after a game late at night and just kept shooting and shooting, screaming at himself, trying to psych himself up to play at a level that he needed to play. That's the type of Kyle Lowry that we need to see again. We also need to see some community pieces come around them. So those are my Final Four.
Well, you know, I really tried to get a little bit of a different feel here. Kind of mix it up a bit, but I couldn't.
Okay.
I had to go same four teams. I mean, just looking at the East, I'll start with the East here. Obviously, the Cavs, what, six straight for LeBron coming out of the East, going into the conference?
No, this is going to be more than that.
More than that? I mean, at least six so far, right? I believe it's six. This would be seven straight.
No, I thought the last year was his seventh final.
In a row.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, why go against
How
that?
Insane
I mean,
is
I know
that?
They're I know they're starting to hit a rut right now, but
They're in a rut.
They're in a
30
rut.
30-11.
They're in a rut cuz they're 4-6 in their last 10.
Eh.
But they're still the top team in the East. They're still putting up 110 points per game. They still have LeBron James. And right now I have Toronto Raptors at that 2 seed there in the East. I'm battling between them and Boston. Whichever one of them makes the trade, one of those teams is going to acquire some type of help, whether it's Carmelo or somebody from the somebody. They're going to acquire some help. So whichever team can make that trade, they'll be there with the Cavs. What else can be said in the East? It's really those two to three teams that even have a shot. Back to the West, same teams, Golden State versus San Antonio. I'm really impressed actually with San Antonio.
Yeah.
I mean, Tony Parker didn't play last night. Pau Gasol is out for a few weeks. Same old guys. They just plug and go. They plug in these guys that you've never heard of, these rookie undrafted guys, a couple of international guys that they just plug in, and they're good to go. You don't miss a beat. I mean, they're sitting at 35-9, and they look almost just as good as Golden State. They're only 2.5 games back.
I agree, to a point.
To a point. I know. I was bullish on San Antonio earlier, so I'm trying not to get too much hype on them, you know? But and then what else? The Warriors. It's the Warriors.
Always.
What else do you want me to say?
Nothing.
What else?
I just want you to say that.
I still have my reservation against them.
Really?
With their front court and that depth, but and their defense. I mean, they didn't fix what made them lose the finals last year. They just got better at what they were already
defense
good at.
Defense didn't make them lose the finals.
It wasn't defense, but it was their front court and how they defended LeBron.
No.
It was.
No.
Come on. It was,
no.
Well, and Draymond. Draymond.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't fix that problem.
It was 100% just the fact that they were not able to hone in on what they needed to do and finish out. I mean, think about it. They were playing really wild going down those last, especially those two games before the final. They were all over the place.
I love this movie.
Okay.
Space Jam's my favorite movie. All right, let's go to the next topic. Another new topic. Kyle is on fire, our creative team here. We've got about 10 guys in the back, just our research.
The creative team.
Our creative
Kyle,
and our research team, man.
Thomas. Who else?
That's
Kyle.
That's about it.
You know. It's me on Cup of Coffee. It's like 10
we have
people,
like,
that's
we have
for
like,
sure.
Yeah, I know. We're like 10 guys. We're just that good. So let's go to our next topic.
We try.
We call this the alley-oop. So let's alley-oop. Take it down. I'm going to toss up a topic for Kyle, and likewise, he will do the same for me later on. And then you just slam that home. If you like the topic, keep going. So let's start with you, Kyle. I'm gonna toss this up for you. Up to you if you want to slam it down or if you want to pass. I totally understand. But this is a good topic, so let's go right into it.
Okay, go for it.
Teams should be assessed a technical foul whenever a head coach or an assistant ventures onto the court beyond the prescribed boundaries. So what we had was an incident last week where the assistant coach for the Wizards, Sidney Lowe, on Thursday night, the closing moments of the game, he stepped onto the court, blatantly illegal, and messed up Courtney Lee's shot that would have been a game-tying shot or a game-winning shot in the last few seconds, confused him. He was on the court, got in his way. Why does the NBA discard this rule so much?
Okay, so here we go. I actually am a little bit more frustrated with Courtney Lee than I am about the coach. The coach, that's inexcusable. That's literally little league. Like, who does that? And in a situation like that, it's not the head coach. It was an assistant coach. Like, I can understand a head coach yelling out plays, trying to get people's attention. You need to be here. You need to be there. Coaches do that in every level. But an assistant coach, really? Where was the coach saying, get off the court, get off the court? Nobody. There was a ref right next to him. He wasn't saying, get off the court, get off the court. Nobody. I get it, but here's the deal. I'm more frustrated at Courtney Lee. He was wide open. Any playmaker, it doesn't matter if you're guarded. If you have that little amount of time left and you get the ball, you're going to take that shot. And if it gets blocked, if it gets whatever, that's something that's fine. You say, look, I thought I had the shot. We had this amount of time. You deal with the stress of the media and everybody else asking you questions. Why didn't you pass it? Well, there's 3 seconds. How do I know if I passed it, anybody would have gotten set? If you have the shot, you take it. He didn't. And then he made an excuse about it saying, oh, this guy was saying in my ear and I couldn't tell. I thought he was one of their players. He was behind you. How is that ever going to block your shot? Because if he tried to block your shot, that's an immediate foul and you get free throws. What in the world? So that's my point.
I can't disagree with you there. I mean,
slam it down.
He slammed that really good. That was Steph Curry to Durant right there. That was a good setup.
No. That was CP3 to DeAndre Jordan.
I like it.
Dunk.
Lob City. I mean,
Lob City.
Just quickly, yeah. I mean, what are you doing if you're Courtney Lee right there?
That's what I'm saying.
What is the point of the NBA after the game saying, oh, we missed a technical there. They should have assessed a technical there. Why does the NBA feel like they need to always correct the refs so many times after the games? Just get better refs. I mean... I hate that they always say, oh, we made a mistake after this game. We cost your team the win. I don't want to hear that constantly.
But see, here's the deal. And we're, you know, kind of going past on the topic. But here's the deal on that one that I will discuss with you. And I'll take a minute on this, okay? So let me pose this scenario and then you answer it. And then I'll give you your alley-oop. All right? So in this situation, the NBA is trying to do something that the NFL has had issues with, the NHL has even had issues with to an extent, the MLB has had issues with. It's being able to manage the replays, the time of the game, times of possession, and understanding that they're dealing with humans. So they're trying to come out and say, look, we made a mistake here. You know, keep an open conversation about it. In that situation, it sucks to be a referee. It really does, because every game you come out and you say, I missed this, and I missed this, and I did my job sucky there, and I didn't do a good job there. But here's the deal. This is what it does do, is it keeps the conversation open, which means I may be upset at that ref for this game, but the next game, he may get a wrong call or a messed up call for a team that I root for, and the next game, he may get one against the team that I root for. So either way, it evens out because these are humans. And so there hasn't really been a change other than it would have drawn out the game longer. It probably would have been a similar result. It may have not been, but at the same time, it evens out over time. What do you think?
Fair enough.
Does that make sense?
Fair enough. I mean, I don't agree with you totally. I just feel like they're constantly coming out and saying, oh, we blew that call. We blew your team a win. Like, every week there's a new circumstance where the NBA has to apologize for the refs. And
in a media area, though, like in an era that we have live streaming. People are on their phone Snapchatting plays like this, okay? And then we can go and dissect it from 95,000 angles and say, oh, his hand was on him, or that did hit the ball, or that did hit the backboard, that was goaltending. We can do that. 6, 7, 10 years ago, they couldn't. And these refs were doing a great job. Never before have refs done such a great job, because they can see that and know, and they can do reviews, and they do reviews nowadays. They actually will check them. But 10 years ago, they couldn't. And so now they're the best referees we have in history of the game, and we're still finding ways to tear them a new one. So that's my point.
Fair enough. I can respect that.
Good. All right.
Good.
So let me toss you up something, okay?
Let's hear it.
All right. We've got an amazing young man, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
On the first try.
Oh, I practiced, dude. I practiced.
Good luck.
Yeah, hey. I practiced in the mirror 6 times every morning. Giannis, it's true. Giannis Antetokounmpo is averaging 23.7 points per game. What is it about the Greek freak that is so exciting to watch?
I mean, honestly, there's a lot that's exciting about this kid. I mean, he's only, 22 years old? And he's already doing this?
Yeah.
Third year in the NBA. I mean, I like everything I see from this guy. He just, when you watch him, he makes the NBA look easy.
Did you see him shuffle the other night?
I did.
How exciting. The smile of just
how he enjoys the sport.
He looks
happy when he's out there. He's a really down-to-earth guy from what I hear from his interviews, and just looking at him on the court, he doesn't get angry. His emotions are in check. I mean, he just makes playing basketball look so effortless.
Absolutely.
I don't know what about it is. It's his length. I mean, the guy takes 2 steps, he's at the rim. Literally. I mean, with those 7-plus arm length, he's literally right there in 2 steps. I mean, it's awesome to see. It's almost unstoppable at 6'11", but he plays like a guard. I mean, it's what's making him so exciting in the NBA is that he's unique.
He is.
He is the Greek freak because he plays like nobody else. You don't see anybody else play like this. I mean, you see a guy like Durant who's 6'11", who can shoot very well for a guy his size, and he can move around. He's pretty agile. But he doesn't have the ball handling skills that Giannis has.
No,
and he doesn't
have the
wingspan that Giannis has, and it doesn't look as effortless.
Well, and what I think is so,
not saying that he's better than Durant. I'm not getting ahead of myself.
But what I love about him so much too, just to add on a little bit, is when he plays, I get this spark of almost childlike fun because of where he comes from in his background. He's not treating this as a situation of how can I get the most money? How can I exploit as much out of this as possible? Now he has agents and he's going to get paid. And yeah, he's going to take probably more.
Well, he already got $100 million deal already.
But what he's doing and how he got there is a work ethic, and it shows on the court, which I think is just fantastic.
For sure. So let's move in to our last topic of the day.
Final.
One that you guys, if you have listened to us before, have heard this segment. It's what we finish with every podcast.
Pretty much.
Our three-point play with a little twist this time.
Oh, I like it.
A little twist. So we're going to take three quick topics, feel-good stories, comments that happened during the week. I'm going to toss them up to Kyle real quick, a minute per about. So let's go right into it. The first one of the week. What a milestone. 11 years ago, a couple days, 2 days ago, on January 22nd, 2006, Black Mamba, Kobe Bryant.
Ooh, I got chills just thinking about the Mamba.
Dropping 81 on the Raptors.
I can remember.
Somewhere Jalen Rose is still shaking in his boots whenever he hears that.
It's probably true. But I can remember that I got probably three or four, and this was back when emails were big. I got probably three or four emails.
Hey, in this industry, emails are still big.
I get it. But I got probably three or four emails about that game. I remember reading, sitting in an office a couple weeks later, reading a Sports Illustrated article on it. And I remember sitting there thinking, that's incredible. And I never thought we would see so much just talent and beauty of what the Mamba brought. And it just going back, it's amazing. And then, of course, on that day,
a couple days ago, 11 years later,
the Lakers honored it.
They honored it.
They honored it with a new record.
73 points as a team, which and lost by almost 50 points to the Mavericks.
Yeah.
This year's Mavericks, which was the worst loss in Lakers history. So
Harrison Barnes.
I guess January 22nd is just a historic day for Lakers.
It really is. Two records.
So let's move on to the second point of our three-point play. Last night was a weird one in the NBA world. The Heat beat the Warriors. The Pelicans beat the Cavs. What a weird night. But we got three-pointers to defeat the Warriors by Dion Waiters, of course.
Oh, it was awesome. And it was hilarious to watch because, yeah, you would think.
I watched most of the second half of this game and just the swag from Dion Waiters, which came out of nowhere. But.
Well, and I'm excited for him. You know, it's good to see him playing the way that he can, and he played at a good caliber, and he, again, just the excitement of what you get to do and what you get to see each and every night and how they do it. It was so cool. It was so cool to watch them do it, and props to the Warriors because they handled it pretty well. Even Steph said, you know, props to Waiters for making that shot.
Night. This is
yeah,
a game,
but it was a great shot.
I mean, this was a game that the Warriors would win last year, and they're just not caught up in trying to get the record this year, so it's going to happen. But it was a fun game. I mean, who would have thought on a Monday night, Heat-Warriors would have been so exciting?
Yeah.
So let's move into the last topic of the day. I know it's sad.
A little bit.
Keep your tears to yourself, Kyle, over there, all right?
I'm not crying.
I don't want to hear
you're crying.
22-year-old Joel Embiid, selected as NBA's Eastern Conference Player of the Week. He's averaging 22 points, 10 rebounds, and a mere 3.67 blocks per game.
Oh, a mere?
Oh, yeah, you know.
I'm pretty sure, you know.
A measly 3.67
blocks. He's leading the NBA at that, by the way.
So, you know, that's pretty good. And then Kawhi Leonard was chosen as this week's Western Conference Player of the Week. I believe he had six straight games of 30 or more.
Did you see him against the Cavs?
Hey, one of the best rivalries in the NBA.
Dominated.
LeBron versus Leonard.
Oh, my gosh. It goes back to 2014. I still remember sitting on my couch watching every single one of those games thinking, oh, my goodness, who is this Kawhi Leonard, and how is he doing this to LeBron James over and over and over and over? And every single play, it just seemed like Kawhi's youth was just overtaking LeBron's frustration of the fact that he was there and it was within grasp, but he couldn't do it. Ah, Kawhi definitely deserving.
Such a good rivalry.
I absolutely love watching it.
Which one do you like watching more, Joel Embiid or Kawhi Leonard?
Oh, easily Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
There's something about
I'll take
him.
The other side just because.
There's something about Kawhi, though, that when he's on the floor, the team is good. and so fun to watch because anytime he's there, it's a big deal.
Well, that'll be a wrap for us here today in the DeMoss Hall Studios. Thomas Pensiero, Kyle Vaught, thank you guys for joining us so much. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
You keep in touch with us on social media. Kyle, what's your Twitter?
Catch us on Twitter. It's at Kyle Vaught. That's at K-Y-L-E. My last name's different. It's V-A-T-T.
I like it. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, Thomas J. Pensiero, P-E-N-S-I-E-R-O.
You got to spell it because I got to spell mine. Hey, everybody thinks mine's spelled V-O-T. So
if you missed any of our previous podcasts, make sure you check them out on Audio Boom under the Average Joe Sports Show page.
That is correct.
And make sure you stay tuned with us every week.
Every week we're going to be back.
We'll be here giving you all the NBA news. That'll do it.
Thanks, guys.